Good morning. I'm going to be preaching from here, Backstreet Boys style, on the stool on the ground. I had injured my foot I was playing Penta Sports with the team. We're second place in the league, by the way. I was playing Penta Sports with the BAC team, and we were doing handball. And I attempted to score, but my foot just didn't want me to. So it gave out, and now I am on crutches with Natalie Wong. But it's okay. I feel like this is like symbolic. It's actually really funny because, like, I don't know about you, but maybe I'm the only one here, but like when you get sick or you get injured, you're like, okay, maybe God can heal me and he can perform a miracle, and that'd be like the craziest testimony. And so I prayed for that, and I'm like, oh, I'm still injured. But that's okay, God is still good. And I feel like there's like something maybe symbolic of this, of the pastor coming to the ground, and I'm just as human, I'm just as broken, I still wrestle. God doesn't perform like overnight miracles on me too. So that's identification, if I know it. So as you can see, I am wearing one of my many Ecuador swags. And this design was actually made by two of our members. And what it is it's a mountain with a river flowing out of it. And the writing on it says, go where the river flows. And so for those of you who do not know, myself and 12 other BAC members, we went to Ecuador on a short-term missions trip at the end of July. And we did construction and we taught a VBS to some children. And at the beginning of this trip, I had asked the missionaries, like, how can I best prepare the team so that we're not a burden, but we add to your ministry? We're a welcome addition. Because short-term missions trips, they're actually really burdening on the local missionaries. So I asked them, and one of the few things they said was, get your team to see how God is moving already in Ecuador, and then partner with him in it. So yeah, God was already at work. He's already at work here. He's already at work in the people he's called you to, in your workplaces, in your school, wherever. And all he's doing is inviting us along for the ride. And so the go where the river flows, I feel like it's best explained in an analogy. I've gone whitewater rafting before, and it's like pretty intense. Like there's something incredible about the power of a river. And I feel like if you've gone before, maybe you understand what I mean, but like when you're in the boat, you can feel the power, you can feel the intensity. And you kind of just are at the mercy of the river. Like if you try to paddle upstream, you just kind of stay in one spot. You don't really go anywhere. And the shirt says, go where the river flows, because, yeah, it reflects the sentiment of rafting. Like a river, God is moving already throughout the world. And we can stay on the banks and watch the river go by, or we can fight against the currents, or we can hop in and we can enjoy the ride. So in my sermon today, it's my hope that you'll be convicted to join the river, to hop into the river and to enjoy the ride. And like whitewater rafting, it's an extreme sport. It's not super safe. It's not like there's risks involved, and it's dangerous. The river is powerful, and the moment you step into that boat, you're like taking on all these risks, and you're submitting your life to the river. And so I'm going to show you today how the great river, the river with a capital R, is flowing in the world, how our God is moving, how the river's flowing throughout history. He has a very clear direction, he has a very clear focus, and with great power, he's cutting through the world. So please join me in prayer. God, I just want to lift up this sermon into your hands. Lord, I pray that it's not me who's speaking to your people, but it's you. Because I can make the best sermon ever, but if you're not behind it, no work will be done. It will not cut through hearts. It will not convict souls. It will not bring Christ-likeness, for how can Christ come out of a sinner like me? And so, Holy Spirit, may you be doing the work of Christ. May you be magnifying his truths. So, Christ, we give you this space. to do your work. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven with this sermon. I pray for all this in your holy name. Amen. Okay, so I'm pretty excited for today's sermon. So excited, I made a Prezi presentation. But it's also to help you follow along what I'm going to be saying, because we're going to be moving pretty fast. We're going to be moving all over the place. And I do want to apologize. I realize there's probably people who are visiting us who may be new to church, who may not know, who may still be getting acquainted with the Bible. And I realize this sermon's atypical to the usual, and I realize the sermon may not be super user-friendly to the newcomers. And so I just want to apologize to you. I really appreciate you being here. We welcome you with like open arms. And I still hope that God speaks to you through this talk. But yeah, like we are going to be going from cover to cover, and I'm going to be tracing a couple of themes for us. And I found this sermon actually really hard to do because like there's just so much stuff. There's just so many things that I can talk about and so many things that I can draw upon. But yeah, my goal for today is to show you the direction of the great river and how our God is moving. And I believe that everything that God is doing can be traced back to two themes, two lines. I will be your God and they will be my people, you will be my people. And to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And so the first theme is I'll be your God and you'll be my people. And there are kind of three concepts within this. So there's worship, that he will be our God, and relationship, that he will be ours and we will be his. And then there's identification, where we will be his people. So thinking of like a king over a kingdom, the king naturally shapes his kingdom people. He sets the culture, he sets the tone of the kingdom. So identification. So worship, relationship, and identification, and yeah, how God increases worship, relationship, and identification with us. So how God becomes our God and we become his people is when people who are already gods are fruitful, they multiply, and they fill the earth. Being fruitful, multiplying, filling the earth is God's commandment to his people. So I'm going to trace these two themes for us in this book. The Bible. And the Bible can be broken down into six smaller acts. So think of like a play or a movie that breaks down the narrative into smaller parts. In the Bible, we can see six acts. There's creation, there's fall, Israel, Jesus, church, which is us, and then new heaven and earth. And I believe that God has a super clear direction, a very specific focus, something that he wants to achieve, aka a mission. And we can see the progression of God's mission to be our God and for us to be his people by, his people being fruitful and filling the earth. So the first is with creation. When God first created the universe, it was perfect. And everything was in its perfect order. That's what Genesis 1 is all about. Day 1, there. Day 2, there. Everyone had their order. And as we read about the perfect relationship humanity had with God and how God views humanity. So in Genesis 1, we see how God explicitly and he intentionally makes humanity in his image, in his likeness. And he actually gives them authority to rule over his creation. And this is actually like incredibly distinct at that for that time compared to other religions. So for the original readers, when they're reading Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, they would actually be having their minds blown. They'd be like, what? Like, this God thinks this way? Because in all other ancient Near Eastern religions, their creation accounts, the things that contained God's image, it was either idols or kings. And so for the Hebrew God, for all of humanity, males and females, to contain the image of God, that is like this completely radical thought with absolutely no precedence. So at that time, it's completely new. People would have been like, wow, this God is crazy. Like, what is this? And another way it would have been like completely mind-blowing is, yeah, other scholars, they've compared these different creation accounts across these different religions. And the one thing that the Hebrew account has unique is in all these other creation accounts, humans were created either by accident or like for like nefarious reasons. So like, for example, in the Babylonian creation account, the reason why humans were created by the gods is so that they can be slaves to them. And yeah, for God to make humans the crowning achievement, and like for him to do it with great intention, it's completely different that humans are like the top of his creation order, that everything is leading up to humanity. This is completely new. This is completely unprecedented, but this is setting up the type of relationship God and human has, and this is setting up God and his view of humanity. So then we move to Genesis 2, and we see God, he's engaging in dialogue with Adam and Eve, and we see God putting his very own breath within Adam. We see God taking notice of Adam's needs for a partner, and again, he's like taking